Breaking ball blasted. Game is tied. Castellanos way back to left center. Back to back for the Phillies. And it's a brand new game. 3-3 here in the bottom of the sixth.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, pre-game, in-game, post-game. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. The Twitter question is sponsored by Marks Jewelers. Our baseball team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, after the win yesterday, what is your confidence level in the Phillies winning the series against the Mets? Pretty confident at 51%, still not confident at 34%, and very confident at 15%.
Man, it's gone down?
Yeah.
Well, what went up?
I think it was 16% to start the show.
No, I know, but what went up?
Oh.
Somebody gained a percent?
Yeah, the still not confident.
Still not confident,
yeah,
people.
Gained a percent.
Real quick, shout out to all the Philly fans who showed up this weekend.
Oh, yeah. And didn't sell their tickets.
Didn't sell tickets. Stadium was nowhere near being taken over by Mets fans this weekend. I didn't even see many Mets jerseys. I saw a few. But we've been down there when New York comes to town, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees, right? And we've seen what can happen from the outside. And I got to say, I was pretty impressed being in the building Saturday. You were there yesterday, Spike. Jack, you were down there for both games. But I was there Saturday, and, man, I think I may have seen 5, maybe 10 at the most.
Well, and I think
scattered, and the majority of them was the standing room only people.
Like, standing room only, I feel like there's more Mets fans because, obviously, the tickets are way more expensive, and they just want to be in the building. So even on the Alonso home runs, you didn't really hear it around the ballpark.
Let's be honest. Mets fans don't even go to their own stadium.
Yeah.
Dude,
Nimmo was begging them to come last week.
They talk such a big game, Mets fans. Oh, we're going to take over your stadium. And we're all afraid of it, rightly afraid of it. I didn't want to see it. Mm-hmm. But here's who we saw it with. We saw it with the Knicks, who everyone in New York loves. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the Yankees, who are the big boys in town. And we didn't see it with the Mets, and it's not surprising because they have a dollar store fan base and who barely go to Citi Field for games anyway. And to think that they were going to come to Philadelphia and spend $300 for a ticket on a team that they don't spend $15 to see during the regular season. And it's not like they've been good since June.
Right.
They've been good since June.
You've had plenty of time to get on board.
They have a high-profile owner. They have the biggest payroll in baseball. They have a guy who is going to be the runner-up for MVP this year. Mm-hmm. So, and they don't even go to their own stadium. So shame on me for thinking that Mets fans were going to come and take over Citizens Bank Park. But to your original point, I give credit to Phillies fans who look like they made a real effort not only to just go to the game, but if they were going to sell the tickets, sell them to another Phillies fan rather than just throwing them online to sell them.
Let me ask you this real quick, Spike, because it was your first experience, right, since the World Series teams back in?
Yes. Last playoff game I was at was 2010 or 2011.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you got a good one yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
yeah,
boy,
I did.
You got an all-timer yesterday.
I haven't seen Spike smile that much in 7 years.
Yeah, and
you got an all-timer yesterday, brother.
It was an all-time game, and I'm glad that Jack just vouched for me there because I think there is – because of how I present my sports opinions, I think sometimes people think that I don't get any joy out of it.
Yeah, we don't hear enough joy out of you.
I know, but yesterday there was – a lot of joy. I was punching strangers. I was hugging strangers. I was very into that game, and it was that game yesterday was everything that you like about sports. It is the back and forth, the going from dread to elation.
Yeah.
The elation doesn't feel quite as great unless the dread came right before.
Man, it usually does.
Yes, and there was a lot of dread yesterday, but I thought the fans were great, but it was great to be in the building, and it was a game that I'm always going to remember having been at. That
man,
game. Yeah,
reminds me of game one in Houston.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
game one in Houston. But honestly, the park, Jack. I mean, you're down there. You're down there for the majority of these. Uh-huh. I wish I could be you. You know what I mean?
What does that mean? Well, a psychopath?
No, I mean, you're down there for all the games. You don't miss any because you're working.
Yeah, yeah.
You're working, so you're down there for the ending of these games. So you get the tough losses.
Oh, yeah.
But you've also experienced, man,
dude,
some great moments. Like, you've gotten to experience those moments in the park. I'm watching it on TV.
Sure, sure.
You guys are in the park.
Yeah, and it's I didn't get to go to any of the playoff games from 07 to 11, which I
wasn't like this.
I still don't think so. And
no.
My biggest fear with yesterday, and I felt it in like the fourth inning, was like, is the CBP magic just done? Like, is that is that in the past
where it came back.
Where the jungle is no longer the jungle? And you felt it after the Harper home run of, okay, like, they wanted to step on a throat yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what the difference between the 07 and 11 and now is? Now they're chasing it. The 07 to 11 teams, there was just, they won in 08.
They won it so quick.
So quickly.
Yes.
And everything was about expectations. They were in the mode that it was a combination of expectations and already did it. And we know how it felt talking about the Eagles after they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was great, but there was this edge.
We went right back to back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing that the Phillies crowds have now is that chase, is the expectation that we could get another one. And it's been long enough to where the joy of 08 has worn off five
worn
times
off.
Over.
Yeah, yeah.
Has worn off five times over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just – Red October is the best. And in a game like yesterday, first off, it made me want to listen to WIP for 24 hours. Like,
of course.
Hearing the jubilation in people's voices. Like, it can be a month of this if they just take care of business. If they take care of business, split, and then take game five. I mean, game five is a chance to be, like, one of the tightest games we've seen in the history of the city.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to talk elation – listening to Jack and Seltzer do the
post-game show.
Yeah, it was like, you ever listen to a podcast on like 1.75 speed or double speed? Jack and James just go, like they were like racing each other to get to talk to each moment. I was like, and I could feel Jack going, come on, James, shut up. Let me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you try to keep it up with him. It's like a hamster on a wheel. I mean, that's like doing a show with Seltzer. Plus, he's shaking the entire booth.
Oh, dude, the shaking.
I know. It's hard to sit there.
I every time I'm a leg shaker, every time I'll start doing that at home on the couch, my wife will look at me and go, please stop it. And I can never understand why. I'll say to her, this is just who I am. This is what I do. Then I saw James with the leg shaking yesterday.
Know.
I thought I would not be able to do what you did with him yesterday.
I leave nauseous every time. And you know what? The last thing Seltzer needs. He has two espresso Starbucks drinks. You don't need two of those.
He came down before the show with two coffees, and I thought to myself, I am getting out of here. Because the one thing I want to see less than James with two beers is James with two coffees. That's the last thing I want.
And he had a coffee before the post-game show. Holy cow, kid. Watch the heart.
215-592-9494. By the way, we're at Schickey's, and thank you to Taz for going back to the radio station and getting the Jack Fritz cardboard cutout. Jack, your head is giant on the cardboard cutout. Still not big enough, I don't think.
I heard from sources, a lot of people showed up to get photos with the cutout.
Oh, really?
It was hot in the streets on Saturday and Sunday.
It's here at Schickey's and Pete's if you want to meet the Jack Fritz cardboard cutout.
If someone comes down specifically to get a photo with that, I think.
Oh, boy. What are you going to promise?
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to promise that they are allowed to be Foxhole guys.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who comes and takes a picture is a Foxhole guy, unless it's a gym stewardess. Jordan in Princeton, you're on WIP. What's up, Jordan?
Gentlemen, I want you to picture the scene. It's 1 in the afternoon on a gorgeous fall Saturday in the parking lot of Citizens Bank Park. I crack open a fresh cold one with some friends and my son and my friend's son. And I hear from the distance the velvety smooth voice. Who is it? Is it our Lord and Savior? No, it's Ike from a distance in the parking lot. And Ike, it was so glad to meet you before the game. And after you left and headed into the stadium, my friends and I were talking, and we've really got to hand it to you. As a football guy, you sound like you played baseball. Like, you know the team, you know the strategy.
Well, he's been hanging around
really
with me long
enough. It's a pleasure listening to you.
That's true. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And I do surround myself with smart people.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, that's good. We always want to be around those that are smarter than us, so no one can determine whether or not we're stupid.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if he's got that here, to be quite honest with you. I don't want to overrate the intelligence around him, but we're certainly here. We're alive, and we talk. So, and then, you know, Jordan, Jordan, one quick thing. I understand what you're saying about Ike and the baseball, but here's something to remember, is that if you took away Ike, almost sometimes I think can get punished by people because he played professional football. And they'll think to themselves, well, he only knows about football. I haven't played professional anything, you know, and people take. So I can tell you, Ike, from my perspective, is a baseball. Like, this guy's from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He is a
baseball town, USA.
Baseball
talk
guy.
To him.
Yeah, well, he's been on WIP for 15 years.
Well, hold on.
17.
But baseball didn't matter on WIP until, like, what? Between 20.
Well, hold on. I came on. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I came on at the right time. That was 07.
2012 to 2019. Baseball didn't exist.
That's true.
What are you feeling about the series?
Stop talking,
Jordan,
about Mike L. Franco and those guys, man. Yeah.
It's great not to be talking about those guys anymore, I'm sure, for all of your sakes and for mine as well. Yeah, I will say it was an exhausting weekend. I was at both games. Emotions were high. The fans were as good as you could have asked for them. This whole myth of the Mets fans taking over the stadium, there were no Mets fans there. My 8-year-old was looking for more to chirp at. He only found a couple, so it was great walking through the concourse and hearing him go, "Boo Mets!" every time he saw a Mets fan. I think that the series comes down to Aaron Nola's first 30 pitches tomorrow night. I think that if Nola can get out of the first two innings and he's got his command and he knows how to pick his spots, and he can quiet that stadium down a little bit, because these guys are going to be raucous. They have reason to be raucous. It was an unexpected run, and despite all the ads trying to get people to fill seats in the early part of the year when none of the Mets fans showed up, I do think that they're going to show up for this playoff game. So if Knowles can run ice water through his veins and get a couple of strikeouts and keep the ball easy on the ground, and I think we're going to have a really terrific run and at the very least split it New York and bring it back home and win it in Game 5 with Wheeler on the mound again.
Appreciate the call for Jordan.
Like it, Jordan.
It's a huge start for – I mean,
it
obviously,
is.
But this is a huge start for Aaron Nola tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, we need good Nola tomorrow.
Yeah, we do, man. And you certainly can't have bad Nola. And I know that sort of sounds obvious, but I don't know if we need seven innings of what Zach Wheeler gave us Saturday. It'd be nice to get that. But we also can't have, you know, four innings, five runs. Four innings, four runs. Like, we can't have that either. Three runs, listen, you're going to have to score runs to beat this Mets team. You have to score runs. So the idea that you're going to win an Aaron Nola start 2-1, get that out of your head. You better be prepared for a 4-3, 5-3 type of baseball game,
well,
at minimum.
You sign up for six innings, three runs or less.
Yes, I'll sign up for that.
He has to go six.
Yes.
With Ranger in game four, it's imperative he goes six.
Yes.
Well, and this, the Phillies should score. This Mets bullpen has
sucks.
To be exhausted.
Yeah.
Forget even about sucking. They have to be exhausted. Mm-hmm. And you could see from Diaz yesterday that I think they have to be spent. The way that they got into the playoffs, then the way the Milwaukee series went, then the fact that they basically had to throw a bullpen game one, and they were in the bullpen by the fifth inning yesterday, fifth or sixth inning, and they had to use a bunch of pitchers. Their bullpen has to be taxed, and they got to get to Quintana. You know,
well, tomorrow's Manaea.
Oh, Manaea. They have to. They just got to work counts and make them throw pitches and get to that bullpen.
And he'll walk you.
Yeah,
Manaea will walk. He's had a really good year. He's bounced around. He's been a reliever, been a starter. He's really kind of broken out this year. But he still is. His command is not great. Like, they got to be first. They need the bats they had post Bryce.
Yeah, and you could tell Topper has been harping on this approach at the plate where he wanted them to change their approach. I don't know how many of them did it Saturday. They certainly weren't hitting the ball Saturday, shadows or what have you. But Sunday, you sort of had positive reinforcement.
That it works.
That it works.
Yeah.
If you do it. You talked about Bryce and the walk and trusting the guy behind him. Like, there's the proof. There's the proof right there that if you do it, it works. And so I think they come into these games not trying to win the game or be the hero every at bat, just trying to get on base and then trying to manufacture runs.
And speaking of trusting the guy behind you, it's even more imperative when you start talking about Trey. When Trey is swinging at balls outside of the zone and Bryce Harper's up right behind him, that's what'll kill you.
Would you put Bone back in the lineup tomorrow?
Well, actually, can you hold that thought for 1 second? I just want to talk about the gold standard of where to buy a Hyundai, and then I think it's a good tease. It's a good tease. We'll talk about Bowman, whether he should be in the lineup right after I tell you where you're going to get the best experience, the gold standard experience when you go to buy a new vehicle. It's John Ashdale, the Cars Are, and Colonial Hyundai. They make buying a car fast, because they have everything in stock, over 200 vehicles in stock. And if you're worried about what it's going to cost, over 80 of those vehicles are under 30 grand. Financing will be easy, as low as 0% on select 2024s, and they're going to give you more for your trade than anyone. They're consistently recognized for that, at least $6,500 for your trade guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. Every brand new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Online, 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. All right, Ike, would you put Bowman back in the lineup tomorrow? A Topper already said yesterday before the game that he would be in, just
and,
for context.
And reconfirmed it today.
And reconfirmed it today. Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I think I would. You're going to need Bohm to win, ultimately. Giving him, sitting him for the day, putting him in there against a lefty where he should at least be able to help you out. I'm okay with that. I know there's thoughts. Have they decided whether Sosa's going to play second or Stoddy?
Well, that's a question as well, because he was 2-for-4 yesterday. He works some good at-bats. Do they like him in the five spot?
A big defensive play as well.
Yeah, yes. And Sosa's fine defensively. Yeah. I mean, he's a better second baseman than he is a third baseman. But I think Sosa's going to start at second base tomorrow against Manaea.
And here's why I would be okay with that. I love what Stott did yesterday. I'm not taking anything away from his moment. Happy birthday, Stoddy. Great job yesterday on your birthday. But this is why managers get paid what they get paid, and they're in a position that they're in. They have to manage. And so if you know Stott struggles against lefties, why not put the righty in there? So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Stott had his moment yesterday. That's great. That's great. That doesn't mean that you go up there and give out four at-bats tomorrow.
Yeah, because you don't want an 0-for-4 to follow the big game he had yesterday.
Now, he is hitting 280 against the Mets this year, at Citi Field he's hitting 280.
No, it's not. Stott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a huge sample size, and he is hitting 223 against lefties this year. So probably should go Sosa.
On the Bohm thing, I agree with you. I would put him back in as well. I would say, though, I was really disappointed with how he reacted to getting benched. Now, we don't know what he said or what he did, but that at
body bat, language wasn't good.
That at bat was horrible.
Yeah.
And Jack mentioned it earlier. That crowd wanted it for him, and that was set up for him, sort of like the Rhys Hoskins home run when he slammed down the bat, and you know, after the crowd had gotten on him. That was a moment for Alec Bohm to. I'm sure he likes his manager, but to say, F you, I deserve to be in the lineup. But I'm here now. And what he did was that, I don't know if you can mope with an at-bat, but it seemed like he moped with that at-bat. And that's not how you want him to handle that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'd put him back in the lineup because I agree with you. They're going to need his production. Because you take him out of the lineup, by the way, he's lost him.
Yeah, he's done.
You've lost him.
You got to put him back in there tomorrow. Yeah. But I just wonder if there's a leash. And what is going to be interesting is if you can get Manaea out of the game, then you get more righties in the game. That's where you can put Stott back in.
Right.
Yep.
They set up some good platoons yesterday.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Ed in Cherry Hill. You're on WIP. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Spike. How are you?
What's up, Ed?
I have a lot of respect for Thompson as a manager, but I don't like his when he pulls pitchers out too soon. Like Wheeler in the first game. Why didn't he keep him in for another inning?
He didn't pitch. He didn't pull him
yesterday.
It was 110 pitches.
I thought they were going to call Vince Velasquez back to put him in.
Yesterday was a mistake. I would have let him face Alonso. They were worried about Alonso leading off the next inning, but Chris Sanchez does not traditionally allow home runs. I know he had the Bientos home run. That was a mistake. I don't think the Wheeler one was a mistake. That's 110 pitches.
Okay, well, how about yesterday?
I agree with you. Yesterday, yeah, he pulled him too early.
This can happen to managers in the playoffs. I think if there's one thing that managers get itchy with, it's because they don't have – this is a big change. Thank you for the call, Ed. This is a big change from the non-DH time. Because in the non-DH time, there would be these natural points of inflection with a pitcher where you know you have to pinch hit for him, because you're down 3-0, it's the sixth inning, you have an opportunity to put runs on the board. But without it, I almost think managers overthink it in the playoffs and pull starters before they should because they're looking to do something. Sanchez, except for the home run, was good yesterday. He was good. And to get another inning or two out of it, you could probably gotten two innings out of him.
Yeah.
How many pitches had he thrown when
88.
They pulled?
88.
Yeah.
And what's frustrating about that is that Rob Thompson said before the series even started, before the playoffs even started, Sanchez is a guy that gets better as the game goes on. And I thought he kind of trusted him more. And yesterday kind of showed to me that he still doesn't have total trust in Chris Sanchez.
And more proof that if you rewatch the game, that he was getting better as the game went on. Early in the game, Chris Sanchez does not give up a lot of fly balls. They were hitting fly balls early in the game, and then it just stopped eventually. And Chris Sanchez is a guy that will allow guys on base, but because he throws so many ground balls, he'll get out of that. And I thought as the game went on, he was keeping the ball down. I thought he was good. But, it is what it is. They won the game. But and I agree with you. Wheeler, this is not, if it was the seventh game of the World Series or something and you had Zach Wheeler, but we're going to need Wheeler another start in this series.
And hopefully deeper.
Yeah. 111 pitches, 112 pitches. How many – you want him to throw 130, and cook him? He's 35 years old.
Well, and he was great. He also walked four guys. He didn't have the command that he usually had. He was in some dirty innings and some high-stress innings, as they say.
Yes, they were.
So he got them out there at a right time. And you have to trust Hoffman and Strom, the two All-Stars. The ERAs were like two this year. They got to get the job done.
Yeah, they got burned by their two best guys. And Ike, you had said it. I thought you were crazy when you said you were worried about the bullpen. The only guy I was worried about was Estevez. The last thing I was worried about was Hoffman and Strom giving up a lead. I mean, my worry in game one was that I texted you guys okay, Hoffman will get through this inning. I was worried they were going to put Estevez in the ninth inning. Estevez was going to blow it in game one. I had no thought that Hoffman would blow that game.
And me either, really. I really was more or less worried about the lesser effective pitchers in the bullpen. Strom and Hoffman weren't necessarily at the top of my list as far as they go. But there's something about late in these games where we've had these, even when they've come back and won some of these games during the regular season, where they've gotten hit. And I'm just like, if anything is going to hurt us, it's going to be that.
And it has twice.
Well,
yeah.
And it's something that has to change because that's a clear advantage the Phillies have over this Mets team.
Is the bullpen.
Whoever's bullpen is better the next three games could flip the series.
215-592-9494. What is your confidence level on the Phillies, the rest of the series? Alec Bohm, it was announced today, will be back at third base. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or post-game. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. Coming up next, I promised you the Bryce Harper elite pandering. He is elite at a lot of things, and pandering is one of them. So he had one of those moments yesterday. And Ruben Amaro expresses some confidence in the Phillies' bullpen and why he thought they haven't pitched well. We will give you both of those things to you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.